If you do not understand that board, that shows how far behind you are. I started a series early this year. It was supposed to last 4 weeks. Now, 9 months have passed. And I don't expect to finish until the end of the year. And the only way I'll finish by the end of the year is let you that are here for the first time try to figure out where I am. I've erased the right side of the board so I can have a little space over there. But how many of you know exactly what this picture means? Let me see your hands. Well, that means there are more of you here than are lost. The only review I'm going to do is, that's you. That's our family. And that's the church. Every organization called by my professor at Stanford University in organicism can be analyzed according to the what and the who. And this series is leading up to understanding the meaning of being a Christian and what our purposes are. This is a university classroom in religion, not your normal church. And understanding the meaning and message of the church. I was lucky to study under Professor Calley and be one of the students at Stanford when I was doing my doctorate there that developed what he called a taxonomy for analyzing any organization, or for that matter, any human organism, you. Just break it into the what and the who. What falls into purpose or purposes, function or functions, structure. Now we're getting down to where we are. Our structures, controlling force or forces. That's the what. The who? Personnel. You may say, well, how can I analyze myself in terms of personnel? Because there are so many yous. Now, in a sense, there'll never be another you. And I teach that. But anytime we meet anybody, there's the real me I'm afraid you're going to find out about. And the me I want you to think I am. And the me you think I am. And the me you ought to think I am. And to me, you shouldn't think I am. Personnel. Patrons. Those who support, not necessarily with only money. Any supporter of any kind. Clients. Those on whom the purposes are worked. And products. Remember, in the sense of who, what the whole organism or organization seeks to bring forth in human or personal product. We don't think about this. That's why progressive education was able to destroy America. But you cannot have an educational system. There's no reason for an educational system without presupposing that there is an ideal man type I'm talking about. An ideal persona or person that we are not and to which enrollment or subjection or involvement in the educational system is designed to bring forth. As the product, ideal man. Now, if you want to hear that Jesus wept, in 365 versions of For God So Loved the World, go to another church. We are delving into philosophy of Christianity. And my goal as a pastor is to equip you until you can work these things out for yourself between you and God. I've crusaded that every person has a right to work his faith out between him and God. Now, when you understand that that faith involves you in the joint activity of a particular congregation, then God's rules invoke in that place. But your starting point is, you have a right to work out your faith between you and God without me or anybody else interfering with that connection. And there are people that have left the institutional church world that are filling the chairs and seats in this congregation, not because you left God or he left you, you just got tired of somebody carrying a cookie cutter and trying to force you into their image. You and God got to work this relationship out. And when you participate with others, it's because you've come to understand his way of getting his will through you. But no matter where or what, an ideal man is in view. I did my doctoral dissertation, for example, on, and the only one in the Christian theme such as this at Stanford, Reinhold Niebuhr's concept of God's ideal for man and the implications to Christian education. Most of us, without knowing it, are the product of the ideal man that progressive education was designed to develop. Self-centered, me first, end justifies the means, truth is what works for me, value is what works for me, that brings me personal happiness, and it grows out of a philosophy of idealism and epistemology, if you want some jaw-breaking words, that postulates there are no absolutes of any kind. The only thing that never changes is the fact that everything changes, and the only absolute truth is the truth there is no absolute truth. And since everything changes, what you know is not as important as how you know. Our personal existence has no immortality. We are no more real than a foci of relationships like a wave in the sea that can be distinguished from other waves but not from the ocean, and we have only this little brief time to try to perpetuate our movement forward, and anything that impedes our personal happiness and satisfaction, problem solving is the method of education to enable us to solve the problem that impedes us, and the measure of success is that our happiness is restored, and it works for me, and it makes me happy, and truth is what works for me, and the end justifies the means, which is my happiness, and that's this generation. They didn't know the philosophy, but that's the ideal man, postulated by the philosophy of experimentalism, propagandized into progressive education, that has produced a nation of idiots who think the world revolves around them. Ideal man, I don't care what you're going to be, at some point, you got to ask yourself, who am I? And what am I doing here? And why? And for whom? Now, purposes I've already defined. They are objective and subjective. Subjective, whatever, anybody, doesn't matter whether we're talking about now an organism, which is you, this circle over here, that Christ died to claim, his spirit wants to inhabit, which is the essence of Christianity, whether it's an organism, or as Cowley called it, an organicism, a group of organisms. The what and the who purposes is where you ought to start. Few people start there. Most people start with structure. Very few people out in front of me got married because they combined in purpose. They united in structure and begin to function. Sometimes a palace and a shack. Sometimes just add-ons. It's not just true of organisms. Organizations start that way. We're going to have a church. Well, how do we start a church? Well, we need a bylaw. That's a structure. Well, you know, I have a friend over here in the Baptist church. He'll give me, I think, a copy of their bylaw. So we start with structure. Begin to function. And work upward to purpose. Ideally, you start with purpose. And purposes are subjective, I repeat, or objective. Subjective, whatever anybody thinks the purposes are. And believe me, everybody is an expert on what you ought to be. And everybody's an expert, more than that, on what you ought not to be. Everybody's an expert on the church. Stop a drunk out here and ask him what a church ought to be doing. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. He'll quote scripture. Everybody's an expert. They've all got their favorite verse of scripture, the one that works for them. I've had mine of late. Mine of late is Judas went out and hanged himself. When the sub-scripture is what thou doest, do quickly. Everybody's an expert on religion. You don't have to study it. You're born with that. Politics and religion is something that comes with teeth and eyes and other things. Subjective opinions. Objective. This is opinion. Everybody has one. Objective, two words control. Official, written. Statement of purposes. You say, well, how, let's go back to the individual. How could there be official, written statement of purposes for me? Well, if you're not one of God's chosen, I'm going to pause because that really isn't true. There are official written statements of purposes and destiny for both the chosen and the non-chosen. You just probably are not interested in reading what the purposes are for the ones that aren't chosen. They fry. That's a pretty official written statement of purpose, too. Like it or lump it, Jesus is your source. He talked more about hell than he did heaven, and with the same words of eternity. You may not like it. The issue is, who knows? And since he's the creator, he probably knows more than you. Now, I didn't come to that by blind faith. I came to it from a study of the resurrection. After rejecting the claims of Christianity. And I'm quite sure that if you made the claim Jesus made about himself, I'd think you were crazy or putting me on. But if you fulfilled the most outlandish claim and went into the grave and came out in 3 days, exactly as you said, I'd listen to you or listen to any other know-it-all's opinion. Yeah, there are official written statements of purpose for you. The eternal word became the living word, became the spoken word, and we have a written word. And there is a definition of what your purpose is. Most people just don't want to pay attention to it. And there are certainly official written statements of purpose for the family, and for the church. I hope you are telling the people who come here, this is a university classroom. I can be a real rough on people and move around my classroom. When I taught in college, I used to just say nothing, really, for 2 weeks, waiting for the first smartass to make a move so I could make an example out of him. You're supposed to tell your friends, this is a university classroom. I don't tolerate disrespect for God's house or God's word. If you haven't got enough brains to figure that out yourself, then I'm capable of embarrassing you, putting a camera on you, and showing the whole world what an a**hole you are. Now, you tell your friends, expect me to go an hour and a half. You tell your friends, expect me to come in here about 11:30, but you're to be in here because we don't pray in public. You don't come here to this place for me to rescue you. You don't come here for me to pick up your spirit. You don't have to come to church to be a Christian. I'm ahead of my story. You don't have to be here to be a Christian. I'm the only pastor in the world that will tell you that. The church is a people that belong to the Lord. You come here to make a testimony and to provide the live atmosphere for a message that goes around the world. We're not here to establish a mission. We support charity. We're not a charity. People come here from all over the world to make a statement of the worth of God's Word. We're not interested in church tramps. We're not interested in speculators. I'm not interested in whether or not you like me or not, because the real test is, if I don't like you, you're out of here. I'm the teacher. You're the student. You're the one being benefited. I'm the one putting out, and you better bleepity bleep act like it. No. I haven't got time. I'm getting tired of movement in here. You got weak kidneys, you either bring a bottle, a tube, or insert something in yourself, or you sit on the back row. If you can't control your kidneys for 2 hours, you park them back there by the door, and when you go out, you ask permission to come back in. Next time you go on an airplane, just pirate a couple of burp bags. Because I don't like looking at your ass as you walk out while I'm teaching. You understand? I didn't come to town to run in a popularity contest. God ain't looking for friends. You have to get a pass to get in this cathedral. You ain't doing me the favor. You sure ain't doing God a favor. I came to town with no bones about it. I'm looking for the elite. This preacher's kid is sick and tired of church tramps, sick and tired of the attitude that Jesus stands trembling with a hat in hand outside your heart door wanting to get in. Poor rejected Jesus. He could spit on rocks and turn them into friends. Now, I came looking for the uncommon man or woman. You ushers next Sunday, eat a pound of garlic before the service starts and blow the next person that moves down with your breath. That doesn't work, think up a substitute. About once every 6 months, I have to let you understand I haven't changed. If you can't come here with respect for what this house stands for and God's Word, and you are so self-centered, mindless, you don't understand that people at risk of life are gathered watching this program in China, that gather around the radio in refugee camps in Liberia, you think I'll let some snot-nosed mental midget in this so-called city of the angels wander in here on an experiment and get out of here without me busting the good? Now, the next person that moves in the foyer, you ask them if they lost their mind, ushers, and demand a psychiatric examination before you ever let them back in. This is a classroom. And you're not moving. I like that. I haven't forgot where I was either. Everybody's got an opinion of what the church ought to be. God's opinion is the official written one. Functions are three kinds also, or three kinds, two also and one in addition. Reason for being, I hate it that I lost that time. Self-continuity and auxiliary. I feel a little vibration somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. Part of what's wrong with this country is everybody is prone to rush to judgment from their ignorant perspective. I am making a vow come anniversary Sunday. That gives me four Sundays to get rid of everybody that irritates me with this trait. From now till I die, there ain't nobody going to be allowed in my presence anywhere that has this judgmental tendency to rush to judgment on everything. They just carry with themselves some little center of gravity that their opinion is the last word on anything. You talk about a person, you slap a guy that just raped and sodomized your baby daughter when he ought to be shot after he's castrated. And you have those that say, well, I think that's awful. He slapped him. You got the point? Well, you just don't slap people. Right. Let's cut his gonads off. Can't. You may say, well, you're not on the subject. Oh, yes, I am. That's that subjective opinion bit. Everybody thinks they're an expert on everything. You give them three dots, and they draw a whole cathedral. When they get done with three dots, they tell you, this is what those three dots meant. The Vatican and this erect pillar in the middle. And with those people, any dots you draw usually lead to that erect pillar. They think with their crotch and think that it's divine unction. Others of them talk with their rear and are absolutely convinced. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. They spend a whole lifetime and never figure out that when they're talking with their mouth, other people don't have the same orgasm that they have. They don't need sex. They just open their mouth and have an opinion. Subjective opinions. know-it-alls. I can't stand them. You can just feel it out of their body. They appointed themselves the judge of all mankind. And no matter what you do, you feel you must pass muster with them. I don't want anybody in this church that even breathes like that. I don't want any more association with people like that. I'm serving, you know, isn't 30-day warning fair? I'm giving 30-day warning to any and everybody I know anywhere. You ask me for an opinion, you're going to get one. But until you ask me, I don't even have a right to have one. Judge not. Judge not. It's the official written command. And I've had it. As I turn 68, I'm going to have 2 years at least before God's appointed number, though I expect to encroach upon it considerably, that I don't have to put up with know-it-all, know-nothings, that I have to wade through some felt flack of their rush to judgment. Why is he doing this? And you notice those kind, you can always mark friends. I've had people, I said to a staff member this week, I said, you've had a problem ever since I've known you. You immediately form associations with problem people. The rescuers. And I said, you aren't doing it because you love these people. I love these people enough to make an enemy out of them. Because I know the difference between loving to be loved and loving. Some of your parents need to analyze that. You just want to be loved? You know the difference between loving and loving to be loved? And I said to this guy, I said, you just are always, always seemingly drawn toward, having an affinity toward problem people. Well, like attracts like. Water seeks its own level. You're not there rescuing them. What I didn't say is you're such a miserable, worthless failure yourself because God can't get to you through your goddamned ego that's so big and in the way that you have to find somebody beneath you, and they have to be pretty low to be beneath you for you to help them. That's why you're always there with the losers. You never seem to line up with a winner because they won't adulate you. Opinions suck. Now, you don't get too many hallelujahs and amens and glories while I preach, but you understand what I'm saying. Functions are threefold. Obviously, we start out with self-continuity. Shouldn't start there, but that's what's most important, and it's self-evident. Self-continuity is what you do to stay alive. Both alive in the flesh and alive in the spirit when God comes to claim you. Self-continuity is a part of the church's activity, the family, and the self. But it ought not to be your reason for being. When these two become one in the reverse form of self-continuity becoming your reason for being, you're a pervert. Eating is necessary for my self-continuity. I can make it my reason for being and get considerably distorted. Exercise. Things you do for good health are essential to self-continuity. There are some freaks that make that their reason for being. And as they approach the twilight years of this life and that step across the gangplank onto that ship that begins its journey into eternity, they're looking back, fighting to retain their, what became their reason for being. I think it's Sunset Strip or something like that. The play, big in New York, Norma Desmond, the fading actress, who was sure that the studios existed, and the 30 million plus fans were there only for her. This fading actress finally has her great day of satisfaction when a call comes from the studio. Now they recognize what they lost when they parked me, and I'm going to go back and save the studio. Her stardom was her reason for being. How devastating. And she comes riding in this antique limousine. And what the studio head was interested in was her car, not her. Bitter irony. Somewhere, this is Greg Boutzer coming to me in his late 70s. Jane, I've had 5 bypasses. And about to face another one. No one's had any spiritual influence on me except Bishop Fulton J. Sheen until you came along. I like to watch you fight, but I'm good at that. I fought Howard Hughes' battles. Now I want you to let me fight for you. Let me do your fight. Because I'm 70-some years old, and I don't want my ass to fry. I'll do your fighting. You help me spiritually. And thus began the closest friendship I ever developed in this Los Angeles area. And I could, at his funeral, as I told you a couple of Sundays ago, say things spiritual about Greg Boutzer. The people in this town never dreamed. The LA Times said your power in Los Angeles was measured by how close your table was to Greg Boutzer's table at Mama's Own. But he found that all the achievements of life, and I never saw a man who could pick a telephone up with the power of influence that he had. And if they'd have dropped a bomb on that church in Beverly Hills the day of his funeral, half of the nation would have shut down because of the dignitaries that were there. But it wasn't enough. And it wasn't even enough, as I got to know him better, that he knew how to keep his ass from frying, to borrow his phrase. He wanted to know the meaning. Was this all there is to life? Self-continuity is not enough. Reason for being? What's the reason for being? By definition, reason for being functions are those expressions of the unit, be it any one of these, that carries out the official objective purposes. Anything else may be good or bad. If I use legal terms, it's ultra vires. In legal terms, with a nonprofit corporation, you do something outside the stated purposes in the founding charter and legal entity statement of purposes, it's called civil fraud. That's what in the battle we had with the government when I first came to this city years ago to move the government in its encroachment back off churches that ultimately let them seize the worldwide Church of God. And we won that battle and changed the law in California. But they were trumpeting in the press, preachers guilty of fraud. And all the public thought was criminal fraud. When the only thing that was being said is a judge had come down with what I call the hamburger decision, in which he said, if a church goes out and rents a park on a Saturday for its teenagers to have a softball game, and the charter of the church did not specify in its reason for being purpose that the reason for being included such activities as renting a park and paying $150 and having softball games and picnic, the Attorney General could call that civil fraud, ultra virus, a diversion of church funds to an activity not embraced in its official statement of purpose, could take the board of the church and bench him, charge him with civil fraud, appoint his own directors in the church, and the board members so charged could not use church money to defend themselves. And the argument was from old England, where to be born in the nation is to be a member of the church, and you have to decide not to be a member to be out, that a church was a charitable trust, and the definition of a charitable trust is an indefinite beneficiary, one that can't speak for himself, like you leave money to trees, they can't talk for themselves, or to take care of your cat or a dog, or to cancer research, which embraces all people that might have cancer, or in England, the church, which is every person who is a citizen of the country, including those who died and those not yet born, are beneficiaries of the state church, and the king or queen heads that church. But we had a revolution. We have a constitution. And churches are not charitable trusts by definition. And the beneficiaries are the members of that local church. The Attorney General said no, and this judge said no. Said you can't. It's a charitable trust. And since every church potentially, every member of the state is a potential member, not only now but in the future, of any church in logical theory, therefore you have an indefinite beneficiary, and the only person with standing to protect church funds, Attorney General. Well, I said, up your yin-yang with a boxcar sideways, and took him on, and won. Scared the liver out of them with a $77 million lawsuit, a violation of civil rights. And I remember when the judge rendered that decision, I said, we'll beat him on appeal, and did. And we marched some 2,000 to 3,000 from the courthouse to King's One, and I said, this judge has just rendered the Constitution hamburger. So I'm dubbing it the hamburger decision, and he says we can't write checks, church checks, for things that are not embraced in the charter. I don't think there's anything in the charter that says I can buy hamburgers at McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Tommy Burgers. And I sat on the platform and called up staff and members and wrote checks in front of TV cameras to McDonald's, to Jack in the Box, to Tommy Burger, and bought hamburgers for all 2,000 or 3,000 people that were there as we started out in our fight. And I had to bear the brunt, still bear it to this day, as I fought and won, that somewhere I was accused of fraud, not criminal fraud, this artful pejorative propaganda use of the word civil fraud, an illegal diversion of funds to a purpose, no matter how much the church might want it, other than what the charter says. And what they were heading for is like First Baptist Church of such and such a boulevard in Visalia was to seize monies that were sent out of state for missionaries. Everything ultimately goes down to the corruption of the government about money. But they were able to get a brainless, talking head, idiot show on TV to jump on that emotive word, fraud, without the adjective civil fraud, not criminal fraud. You go to jail for that. Civil fraud, which is to divert the money from the stated purposes. I doubt one out of 100 board members of any church in America know what the purposes in their charter of the church say. It was a disguise of a government takeover and their alligator want to control everything. Well, we whipped their ass, got the Petrus Bill passed, and set them back. And churches that didn't even know what was going on were saved by that battle. But I've been smart enough to recognize I will only pastor a church that states the preeminence of this book as the charter to which the written little accommodation to the state must bend. Because I figure I'm a better judge of that book than any judge sitting on any bench in this country today. And we run by that book, which is the official statement of purposes. And the reason for being is what that book says you, your family, and the church are doing. Self-continuity is allowed, good purposes, auxiliary to the reason for being of the church. Come in. And the media is forever pressuring and exalting the church. The world, if you were of the world would love its own. This viewpoint out here, to you that have been following the teaching, you want to be accepted out here? If you were of the world, the cosmos, the world would love its own. But you're not of the world because I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. You let them define your purposes. That's why I hate these opinionated people. I did a PhD at Stanford, changed majors on every degree getting there. I spent a lifetime mastering the languages, gathering the manuscripts, and mastering this book. And some pea brain, well, I might as well work Channel 56 pretty good today. Some pea brain asshole saggers in here. About the most sophisticated portion of his knowledge is that there's an Old and New Testament and the Pope lives in Rome when he's not at his summer palace or Brazil. And they sit and pass judgment. There are times that I wish I had followed my career vis-a-vis what I was trained for. Teaching at the graduate level in some major university. Because you wouldn't get my presence until you got a little knowledge. Until you graduated with some honors at the bachelor's level, had distinguished yourself in graduate work beyond that, and then were one of the 3% that passed muster of the first quarter, where you were taught by my flunky assistants, then you might get in my presence. And I really do not suffer fools much anymore as I get older, and I have little tolerance for the ignorance that prevails in most religious judgments. Auxiliary purposes. People coming in and telling you what the church ought to be doing. And then, if a church is doing all of these things that the world approves, it gets all the kudos and all the credits. Because the church, that is the body of Christ, a people belonging to the Lord, marching according to His beat, the ground and the pinnacle and the light of truth. Men love darkness better than light because their deeds are evil. The true church has always been hated by the world. And the evils of the church began when Constantine made it the state religion. The church did not conquer the Roman Empire. I don't care what you people may have been taught in history. The devil conquered the church through the Roman Empire. And Constantine called the Nicene Council, not the bishops. And Constantine ruled the Nicene Council, not the bishops or the Holy Spirit. And the prelude was to the Dark Ages, which are returned to the truth of God's Word by Luther and Calvin and John Knox and the other great reformers, brought us back on the track. Constantine's purposes became the reason for being for the church, not God's Word. A council of bishops who continued to rule until a monk tapped Martin Luther on the shoulder and said, "Read the book of Romans. Go to Paul." And as he began to teach verse by verse through Hebrews, Romans, and Galatians that he ultimately said he was married to, teaching through it in both 1519 and 1535, from God's Word, the reasons for being of the church, and the message of faith, and the message of grace, emerged from the Dark Ages that have been covered up with auxiliary purposes, including the selling of indulgences and purgatory and add-ons. Reason for being goes back to this word. Opinions add auxiliary. Self-continuity is an ever-present force. Structures are analyzed the same way. I can analyze a structure as any organization of matter. Your appointment calendar, your schedules, your body, talking of individuals and organization. The structure is not just a building of wood and stone, steel and glass. It's your organization charts, even your legal entities. It's your payroll schedules, it's your work outlines, any organization of matter, seating charts. I can analyze any organization's structures and quickly tell what's ruling. Reason for being, self-continuity, auxiliary. Where do you spend most of your time? Most of you don't know your reason for being. Self-continuity is your reason for being. Auxiliary functions just move in on you with these opinionated people out here, never stopping, trying to use the structure for their purposes. Reason for being structures are those dedicated to the function which furthers the objective purpose. Self-continuity functions, structures for those functions are necessary, and self-continuity is justified ultimately only if you have and are fulfilling your reason for being. Auxiliary structures are those that grow up to perform or to facilitate auxiliary functions, which may be good or bad, but encroach upon self-continuity and reason for being. Most of these auxiliary functions are spawned by opinionated people with neither the guts or ability to build an organization for their own function. They're like barnacles. No. These people exist, now let's ride on them. They come in with purposes all their own, agendas all their own. And all of a sudden, auxiliary functions are at war in the fight for structure and time, the organization of which is a structure. Auxiliary functions are encroaching on both self-continuity and reason for being. And what's terrible is if you pay the price of adopting an auxiliary function as a means of getting support of self-continuity when you were existing for a different reason for being. Many people have started out with a dream, and self-continuity has made them form an alliance with someone having a different dream. And because that person has greater capacity to provide self-continuity, no matter how valid your dream, the auxiliary one who provides the major support bends the structure and bends the functions until all of a sudden the auxiliary function has become the operational controlling function, reason for being. Controlling forces start out with legal entity. The Constitution and bylaws in a church, the ultimate higher law, God's Word. History, the way things have been done, creates an inertia for doing it. How many of you have ever stayed in a relationship that's gone sour and bad and self-destructive just because the effort of separation is too painful? You don't have to hold your hand up. How many are in it? Don't hold your hand up. How many are in a relation like that right now? Well, that one with a natural tendency to codependency tell you, cut it off. I mean, there is a guy in a certain part of the world that ruined a relationship I thought was valid, and I almost died, and I can tell you brokenheartedness will not kill you. I know. I've tried that way of death 2 or 3 times. It doesn't work. You don't die of broken heart. And there was a guy, he ought to be dead for what he did, but right now, out of that relationship, if I could find a guy, I'd kiss him. I'd kiss him. God, I'd kiss him. And then with the results of my kissing over the years, I'd probably have to kill the guy to get him off of me. So I don't think so. Just thought I'd keep you awake by another little lie in the process. History. An obnoxious controlling force. You know what I hate about being here 22 years? I'm glad for the congregation, its trust, and the challenge, and the opportunities, and the honor that God has given. But I hate the number of times I find I'm doing something wrong. What are you doing that for? Well, we've been doing it for, as if longevity of error makes it right. History. You shove a bicycle, it's going to keep going. It's called inertia. Even worse, culture. Unwritten laws of behavior. The things that control with, you can't really find out why. This is just the way things are. Buddy system is one of the cultural elements that's developed in this organization. Employees that have been here too long and formed horizontal alliances where it's just understood that they look out for each other. Though the legal entity requirement is, standard honor code, you not only are honest, but you report dishonesty. Or someone who's violating the rules is reported, they change it. The culture is, if five of us are involved and he catches one, the rest of us will, the other four will turn with him and say, "You silly, yeah." In other words, if five are involved, pastor catches this one, the other four quickly line up with pastor like junkyard dogs and get on him. And it is understood, even though he knows those four are as guilty or more guilty than he is, he's to take it with a smile. Because next time, one of them are going to get caught doing something that he's participating in. So now he's got his chance to get even and be part of the junkyard dog. Because the culture is, none of us want to get caught. We cover for one another when we can. And when he's caught, we quickly cleanse our skirts by performance of acting like, "Why, you dirty dog, how could you do that?" And you don't dare, the culture says, you don't dare say, "'Cause I got my dirt from you, you dog." We wallow in the same hole. Pun intended. You understand culture? Unwritten laws. You can't change. I mean, the pastor gets a message from God for the church, and they start a certain direction, and then you're pained about that, but then you get used to that, and then he gets another change. You can't change, pastor, because this one is the path that you said we were to go on. Statements, written or otherwise. People from their opinion are given places of authority as a personnel, and they open their mouth prematurely, and you'll fight harder for something you've said than you would for the same thing if you hadn't said it. You're suddenly ego-involved. You become an early bird interpreter of the pastor. I have those kind. They come in and immediately... they've listened a little bit out there. They think they know how I'm thinking, and they come on board, and they become the unofficial spokesperson for Dr. Scott. Now, they must fight me and their listeners for this opinion, because they said it. And even if it isn't close to my view, well, it has to become my view. Because their ego involved with representing me as that view. Hey, what I'm teaching you doesn't just apply to churches. If you aren't learning something about your own business, you're too dumb to be here. Personnel. Ideally, they are here to work to achieve the objective purposes and to either support, if they are personnel in the self-continuity activity, to be joined not with ego involvement with their work, but nothing can be as important as the reason for being. I got a director I benched today. Am I boring you? Because I'm past 1 o'clock. I got a director I benched today. And I'm down to nobody. I told Melissa, be prepared for me to take her out to the truck and let her direct during the service. She's been volunteering for the festivals because I have no director. And as I was trying another one, so I'm not solely dependent now on Melissa, I had a bench director. We're changing over our computers. There are three people sitting in this service, and if they don't get their glow off their face real fast and inside their spirit start smiting their head against thee, O God, have I sinned, they will never be inside this church again. And believe you me, I can pick up a vibration under that computer, under that balcony back there. We are seeking to transfer our computer room to PCs. It's complicated, but it's keeping up with the computer world, because that big monstrous computer room we have, the parts are so outmoded, when they wear out, they won't be replaceable. I assigned yesterday afternoon to a volunteer and the two key men, the man I'm trying to replace and the one that's supposed to be able to replace him, to go down and work on those. We got new equipment yesterday, and to work on it yesterday. That's fine up until 6:30. But everybody in this congregation knows that I've been fighting a war beyond belief to even get to a festival all week long. And when I begin to lose that capacity, then the war of my staff moved to the weekend to render me almost incapable of coming here on Sunday morning and arriving here in such a rage because of what are the deliberate self-serving things that are done, that I can hardly preach. I got a 10 o'clock call this morning. Your main microphone is out. The standby mic is there and working fine. But will somebody please tell me, if this one goes out, what I'm going to use in this worldwide service, which is the focus of the week, and that the camera to my right, you notice there's nobody standing there, not the man with the handheld, the one on the pedestal. That camera is out, one of our prime cameras. I got angry at the person who reported to me because he was just a sluice box. I said, there is no way, if the engineer had been down here at 6:30, which was crew call time last night, that these problems would not have been discovered and fixable, and at least I would have found out and been given some options before 10 o'clock this morning. There is no way, and I know what happened. A new computer toy, and three people who are the biggest mouths in mouthing their dedication got into the new toys of computers. And I got the one who is the engineer that I was hoping was starting to turn around a little bit, that I'm trying to replace. And he kept wanting to tell me what a disaster they ran into yesterday. And I said, you say one more word, you're fired. I don't want to hear about your disaster. It doesn't matter about your disaster. This equipment hasn't been fixed for weeks. We're still functioning. We haven't run out of our other equipment. You're going to tell me we couldn't have stopped at 6:30 on Saturday, worked next week, and got ourselves down here to get ready for this service on Sunday? I want to tell you something. Computers are like Ouija boards. I have yet to meet a computer expert that I'm around very long that I don't see the demons of hell taking over. It is the generation technical burst that will make this the age of computers, but it's the final instrument of Satan. And God knew in the prophecies of old that a six is the most facile number with a computer. And that's why 666 will ultimately be on everybody's number, because it's the most easily linked in this technical magic called computers. And there is nothing that can produce an asinine egomaniac as fast as a computer language. If you can't stay humble with this instrument, it's the same as television. There are perfectly sane people. You put them in front of a camera, they go insane. They're perfectly sane people. You put a computer in their hands, they go insane. They had a new toy. And under some perversion from hell, the engineer that's responsible, that was to be here at 6:30 last night, and the engineer that's supposed to be replacing him, that was off at 8:30, but could have been here at 6:30 with him, oh, they got a new toy. Of course, I'm paying for it, but it's been given, some of it, and some of it I'm paying for. They put their head... Remember that painting about the oblivious cow that I had back here with the head in the feed box? And I said that was just a type because that was really a certain person whose head's in the computer all the time. They cared nothing for this service today. Satan made them blind, and if they don't see it as evil, then they're past feeling. Satan made them blind. They cared nothing for this service. And volunteers and people who are faithful down here are totally disregarded and in consideration, while the man I hold responsible has got his head in a computer. The only thing worse than that thing that we all have in common, that's like opinions, everyone has one. Most computer experts put their head in the computer, but it comes out of their behind. Because they can't, they're arrogant idiots. Why don't I preach to you in Greek? Why don't I preach to you in Greek and tell you when you go home, you have no idea how much you have benefited from my knowledge. That's the language of the New Testament. It's the language Jesus spoke. And if I could throw in a couple of other words in Hebrew and Aramaic, just maybe the language that I would need to talk to the Lord in His own language when I get up there. You poor ignoramuses will have really, really been exposed to my inflationary performance. What I think the engineers and their buzzwords, computer specialists in their jargon, they are nerds. Nerds! You go to bed with them. Wait a minute. Yes or no? Check one. Wait till I turn the screen on. Up or down? Over or under? Check one. Undecided? Click here and start over. Honey, I'm pregnant. Malfunction. Abortion? Yes? No. Undecided. Turn machine off, come back in 30 days. Everything is directed. They can't make a decision if there isn't a box. You understand the seriousness of what I'm telling you about engineers that got their head in the computer and didn't care about this service today? And the one that's supposed to be replacing the one I want to replace, I'm trying to find him to get on his ass. He comes wandering in here at 11:14 this morning. And then comes the explanation. Well, pastor doesn't come till 11:30, and most of the people come between 11:15 and 11:30, so I thought it was all right. This service starts at 11 o'clock. You're supposed to be in here if you care, in the beauty of this cathedral, in the quietness and the music, preparing yourself spiritually to be a support system for the message when it goes out. Oh, I'm replacing the old engineer with a new engineer that didn't have enough concern about this service to make sure that the man who's supposed to be responsible gets down here at 6:30 and his true spirit comes out. He wanders in here at 11:14 this morning. If nobody else is in their seat at 11 o'clock, staff members better be in their seat. And ex-staff members, I've told you, I've had it with a community of ex-staff members whose only claim to fame is they failed with me. So you have to somehow bond with one another so you can mutually commiserate over why you failed. You failed because you're an asshole. Period. Too self-centered to take. But then you failed the same reason Riddick Bowe failed as a Marine. You wanted the benefits without the price. You failed because I tell you the truth when I say I came here looking for uncommon men and women. You failed because this is not General Motors. This is an army for God that must be willing to pay the price of anything to get it done. You failed because you're a self-serving hypocrite without the guts to be a man. That's why you failed. And I'm not going to tolerate a community of you sympathizing with one another. If the exes in here have not lined up quickly and said you're on my side, I'm kicking your failing ass out the door. Because this ain't a place for referees. You understand? I want to tell you something. You wives need to tell your failing husbands, if they don't make it with me, that's proof they'll never make it with you, so kick them out in the street. Are you serious? Dead serious. This church is at a stage, it will institutionalize and fossilize with personnel and patrons. That's why I never ever sought patronage from people, because they had money. I never sought patronage because we needed them. I don't know if you listen to the testimonials of people who come through here. Political figures. But they always are testifying we've done more for them and their causes than they've done for us. I learned, if you get dependent upon patronage, their purposes, self-serving or opinionated different from God, will take over. You get locked in with personnel who have lost their first love and are no longer getting their orders. In the case of the church, from the man that gets his orders from God through his word, their purposes designed to serve their position will take over. You will find they're missing the position more than the opportunity to fight shoulder to shoulder with the pastor to achieve God's purposes. I don't want any patrons. That's why most of the time I can't locate offering with face. Don't need your money. God's not a beggar. The patrons we want are those that are showing a worship of the message that's preached. Clients, what do you think I want to pass? I ain't going to new salesman techniques on you and offer you something you want to get you to come in the range of God's voice. I don't mind tricking you with horses and beautiful women to stop, but I don't offer you anything but a cross to die on, a life to be cleansed and bought by God's gift of His Son, and a Christianity which is a commitment to a life of faith and trust in God and proven trustworthiness. And I'm looking for clients that want that to happen on them in order that we might, through emphasis of the right purposes, emphasis of the right functions, structuring it properly, controlling forces that are never allowed to bend those purposes, personnel united in those purposes, patrons united in those purposes, clients who want those purposes effected on them, we produce the products. You want to tell me that I have three engineers who understand the reason for being of this church and what they're hired to do, when this is the most important hour and a half, 2 hours of the entire week, and they got their head in a bunch of computers in a disastrous experiment, as if those computers were in any way necessary to this service this morning? It ain't complicated, folks. It's whether or not you're willing to give yourself to God's purposes for your life. What are those purposes? Most of you don't know it. What qualifies as reason for being functions for your life? You want to be a lawyer? Why? You want to be an engineer? For what purpose? You want to be a security guard? For whom and for what purpose? You want to be an actor or an actress? Why? Well, I'd like to get an Academy Award. Why? Well, they can pick their movies and they get big money. Is that it? Is that what life consists of? Is that enough for you? Are you going to end up like Norma Desmond? What is your reason for being? Why your family? Because the condom leaked? Now, I'm not so Catholic, but I do believe that God has a purpose for the family. And the reason for being is not mysterious. Why a marriage? Why a relationship of any kind? With whomever? What are the controlling forces in your life? Where are you getting them from? What's the ultimate product going to be? In your case, in this church, in the family. Ideally, when you start out, the subjective purposes of the founder or the one in control rules. Ultimately, they must be reduced to objective written purposes if you're just building a business. But in Christianity, the great purposer has already declared himself. And ideally, a church would be built on those purposes, begin to function, build the structures. And because it's functioning properly, controlling forces would flow accordingly and attract, as I said, personnel and patrons and clients who want it, and the products would be automatic. But in the desperation of self-continuity and in the reality of history, you seek support from strong-minded people who, like buccaneers, want to use the structure for their own ends. You have personnel who have stayed around long enough to begin to feel the benefits to their own self-continuity and ego of participation, and they want to set some of the agenda. It says, I saw Charlie Rose interview the head of Disney, Michael Eisner. He has a reputation of being hands-on. He said something very intelligent. 175,000 employees worldwide or something like that. He says, you know what the truth is, Charlie? And I'm sure he was understating his influence, but he was stating the truth. The real leadership in these corporations is not at the top. The top has very little power. It has the prestige and the big salary and the money and the perks, but the top has very little power, and the bottom has very little power. The middle is where the power is. That's where the day-to-day decisions are made. And of course, I look at things and make decisions and do input, but the power is at the middle. And he sort of wistfully talked about the days when he was part of the middle in another corporation. That is true. The civil service stays, and President Clinton will be gone. He and Gore will probably be under attack. The emperor saw the bureaucrats in the Forbidden City were corrupt, so he fired them all. Then he discovered nobody knew how to pay the bills, so he had to hire them back. And this middle group began to determine the agenda. They start, and usually they're younger than the top guy, so they're thinking about what's going to happen when he's gone. Well, I'm telling you, God's a pyramid type. And it's never been done in the history of an institution this size or this longevity, but the middle ain't ruling me any longer. God's purchased this church with his own blood, and God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints to the work of the ministry. And I am going through the pain I'm going through now because I determined I was taken over again. And patrons that don't go with me as I unfold the purposes for this church from God's book, as I will in the weeks immediately ahead, and personnel that continue to be an obstacle to serve their own ego and their own purposes are gone, and patrons that don't like the way I'm going, get out. And clients that don't want the purposes worked on you, go find another church, because I'm tired of producing misfits, retards, non-Christ patterned clients who understand that he died for you to cover your sins, chose you before the worlds were formed, doesn't necessarily want you to change careers. He gave you the gifts you've got. But wants you as a steward to recognize you belong to him, and wherever and whatever you are, his purposes must be supreme for you, the family, and as members of the church. You are a people who belong to the Lord, who are united to do something that can't be done by individuals, and are united in that task. And this church, just as the individual, cannot serve the clients, which are your human needs, but must bring them into subjection. The church cannot serve the individual members, all of whom have their wants and their subjective opinions. This is the church of the living God. And Jesus said, I will build my church, not yours, not mine, his. My church, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When I get this church cleansed and cleansed of these self-serving sinners that have moved in to shift its focus, then the gates of hell will not prevail. We're on the defensive because of Aikens in the camp, who have seen this wondrous institution of God that he built up to take his word to the world as something they could bury in their tent, something that belongs to God they could use as Aiken for their own benefit. And when the Aikens were out of the camp, God gave a glorious victory at Ai. Until the Achans were out of the camp, Ai could not be taken. And the Israelites, even though promised the whole land, were defeated. I've had it with the Achans in the camp, and I don't want anybody in this church that isn't ready to take up their cross, march with me, as I determine to take us into the next century going God's way. And that's my message for today. I remember asking a pastor of the largest church of the denomination at the time, a few years ago, I don't want to name his name, I said, "Why are you a pastor?" "Oh, Gene," he said, "don't ask me those complicated questions, it's just fun." They indicted and convicted him for criminal fraud a few years later. Yet he was the shining star, not civil fraud, criminal fraud, for bilking aged people out of their savings in a criminal scheme. Do you know how many pastors you can find in just this city of Los Angeles that don't have a clue of why they're pastoring or where they're going, except they want to be big and important? Whatever works is what they're going to do. Whatever structure someone else uses that produces a crowd or brings in some money, they're going to use it without critical analysis. I start my 23rd year. I came with two objectives: to restore this church to faith as its mode of operation and the path to eternity, and to restore this church to respect for the position of God-ordained leadership. Well, I'm adding a third now. We're going to go into my 23rd year with an understanding, as I continue to build on this taxonomic foundation and thought frame. Oh, you can believe I'm going to start putting scriptures on each of these categories as we look to God and His Word for an objective definition of purposes. My 23rd year, I begin a third objective, which is to leave a church going into the next century that has an understanding of its purposes, what God wants from you as an individual, a family, and a church, and a commitment to being that. It's offering time again.